At one time, the Methodists were quite prominent in the United States. I remember reading in one source that about as many as 75% of Americans in the 19th century were Methodists. In fact, one of their most famous ones was Ulysses S. Grant. But recently, leaders in the United Methodist Church have gone so far to the left on theological and social issues that about 6,000 churches have voted to break away from the denomination. Dr. Ray Rooney Jr. serves as the digital media editor for the American Family Association. He wrote an article recently, to which we'll link, about why he personally left the United Methodist Church after serving more than 37 years as one of its ministers. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points, and Dr. Ray Rooney Jr. joins us. Thank you, Dr. Ray Rooney. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
So tell us what happened.
What happened with me leaving?
Yes, and the whole denomination, that's kind of hemorrhaging, if you will.
Yes. Well, it wasn't as long as it appears. The Methodists have been around really for a long time in this country. But it was in 1968 that it became the United Methodist Church, where a couple of denominations joined together. And then I became a Methodist preacher back in 1986. So really, not even 20 years had passed. And everything was good for a while. I was pretty much uneducated. And then some things started happening, and hearing from some different sources that were really alarming, really alarming. Matter of fact, some of it happened while I was working on a master's degree in seminary. It was mainly coming from the leadership echelons, from the episcopacy of the United Methodist Church. And one of them was a bishop, Joseph Sprague, and his book, Affirmations of a Dissenter. And as you said in
well,
the
wait,
intro,
wait, this, let me yeah. stop you for a second. Is he a conservative or a liberal? I don't know. This Joseph that you mentioned.
Oh, no, liberal. Affirmations of a Dissenter. It basically, if you were to read that book, he refutes almost every single premise of the Apostles' Creed. I'm hard to find anywhere that he would agree with anything in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus, according to him, didn't rise physically from the dead. The Apostle John's gospel really shouldn't be a gospel. It was he wasn't born of a virgin. Jesus wasn't. It was just stuff way out in left field. And I followed that for a while, and was ever done.
All right, and let me stop you for a second. Was this fellow just some sort of outlier? Was he some sort of exception? Was he some sort of leader in the Methodist Church that, really didn't have much clout or that kind of thing? Or was it more, no, this man was kind of like the tip of the iceberg, perhaps?
Yeah. At the time, I think it was viewed as an outlier. But as time went on and more, he was never disciplined. He was an active member of the Methodist Episcopacy. He was never, he was brought up on charges, but nothing ever came of it. And I think that sort of sent a message. And so the whole leadership, and that's, I want to focus there, that it's the leadership problem from my perspective. I'm only giving you my perspective, but from my perspective, it was a leadership problem in the United Methodist Church that a lurch leftward, and it just got out of hands to the point that even though the denominational rule book, the Book of Discipline, has a paragraph stating against it, we actually have a United Methodist, or I don't anymore because I'm not a United Methodist anymore, but there's a United Methodist bishop who is a practicing homosexual, Karen Oliveto. It's just out of hand.
Wow. Going back to the fellow you said that was, who wrote a book against the, if you could say all the tenets of the Apostles' Creed, yeah. He just blows them away and says, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he gives a kind of almost like a bare minimum creed. And he says, you believe this? you know, you're in Christ. But if you don't believe this, you're not in Christ. And the bare minimum creed is that, you know, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day. So a person that says, even if they're high up in some sort of church denomination, and there are people like this, they say that they believe in Christianity, but they deny the historical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're lying according to Scripture. I mean, they're not in the faith according to Scripture.
Well, that's right. There's a tremendous problem there, and that was my problem. As the United Methodist Church is not set up in the way that other denominations are, where you can have a local church, a local assembly, and they kind of do their own thing. They get sort of not marching orders, but advice and so forth from the denominational headquarters and so forth. But the word United, that means, whether you like it or not, you're all on the same page. And I just got to be where I just did not want to be united with the leadership. Again, I'm focused on the leadership of people who were, as you pointed out, I think Paul put it in Galatians, speaking about a different gospel, which he then went on to say is a distortion of the gospel. It was a personal decision for me, but as you said in the intro, a whole lot of people have said the same thing and disaffiliating from the United Methodist Church. That, and I just want to stress, this is a leadership problem. The rank and file of the people are pretty much evangelical and conservative. But at some point, you've got to say, I don't want to be led this way, nor do I want to be identified with this group of people. And that's what it was with me.
And you're not only even just talking about basic theological constructs, you know, what the Bible says and so forth, but this also has implications in terms of, you know, let's say sexuality or abortion or some of the cultural and moral issues that are so critical, you know, from our perspective.
That's right. I mean, everybody should know. I mean, I'm sure everybody does about the sexuality issue, where the United Methodist leadership is pretty much wholly and on board with same-sex marriage. And even though the Book of Discipline says you can't do that, you know, how do you want to be led by people who I mean, I don't think it's just me. That's lawlessness. When you have whether first with the Scripture and then with your own denominational rules, and you say, I think I know better than that, then that's lawlessness. I mean, from my understanding, here's what's happened. God is a God of love, all right? He's also, at the same time, a God of holiness, and love and holiness put together produce perfect justice. But if you do away with holiness, which is unfortunately what I perceive has happened to the United Methodist Church, is no more thinking or preaching on holiness, then all you have is God of love who pretty much is on board with anything. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. He is a God of love, a God of holiness. It produces holy justice. And so when there's not holiness, then it's pretty much, well, God doesn't mind.
You know, there's a terrific book written in the early part of the 20th century. The writer was G.K. Chesterton, who had a lot of influence on the later Christian writer C.S. Lewis. But anyway, that book is called Orthodoxy, as in with a small O. But one of the things Chesterton said is that in our modern age, and he was writing around, I don't know, 1915, 1920, in our modern age, one of our big problems is we're isolating one Christian virtue from another and, you know, ending up with the kind of mess that you just described so well. So let me ask you a question. Tell me about John Wesley, and what would he think about all this?
Oh, well, Wesley himself was focused from, they were called the Holy Club at first. I mean, his focus was
okay,
on.
Okay, wait, for those who are not familiar with it, who was John Wesley, and then where does he fit into all this?
Is pretty much known as the founder of Methodism. Back in the 1700s, was an Episcopal clergyman. And anyway, to make a long story short, he began taking the message of the gospel outside the walls of the church, which got him in trouble with the Anglican church. And from that was birthed the Methodism, which spread to America when he tried it, but didn't work out so good with him. But he ordained and sent some very powerful preachers into the Americas. And they, if you've heard about circuit riding and so forth, they were the ones that just taken the gospel out onto the frontier of this country. So, what would he think? Since he was inundated with the message of God's holiness, I mean, there's no way he would be on board with this. He's absolutely preached God's love. But he absolutely proclaimed that God was holy and that justice, God's justice was a perfect justice. And, it's following the dictates of Scripture. And I mean, he did say, and, you know, a lot of people use this, but he did talk about in the United Methodist Church in the Methodist Church. But as to all opinions which do not strike at the root of Christianity, we think and let think. But the implication is we don't think and let think when it comes to those things that do strike against the root of Christianity. And God is not on board with sin. He is. That's the whole thing about this, Dr. Newcomb, is Jesus paid the price on the cross to deliver us from sin, not to help us learn to accommodate it. And that's just what made me so uncomfortable, because I couldn't just say, well, that's them. It's not me in my little church. It is me because I'm part of that, which is why I just couldn't reconcile, being part of it. I mean, in the letter to the church of Thyatira, Jesus talked about sexual immorality, and he said, not only is Jezebel going to be thrown onto a bed of suffering, but everyone who's right along there with her is too. And then, of course, there's Paul's famous statement, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, and 2 Corinthians 6:14. And that's what this has become with the leadership, just lawlessness, scriptural lawlessness and denominational order lawlessness.
You know, it's so funny. I'm sure some people listening to you are thinking, wow, this guy's judgmental. Then others are thinking, wow, what took this guy so long?
Yep, you're right. I've gotten it from both of those.
No.
Being judgmental.
But tell us about
work within the system.
Sure. And tell us about the Methodists worldwide, because aren't there many Methodists in third world countries that would be in your camp, not the leadership that are denying basics of Christianity?
That's the general conference, and you're right. Without the voting bloc from the general conference, same-sex marriage would have been legitimized in the United Methodist Church long ago. This has been a 40-year battle, and things just came to a head, and there were so many shenanigans that went on at the last general conference. That it's just it became irredeemable from my perspective. I mean, I was a Methodist preacher since 1986, and just you stay, you fight, you keep saying no, this is the right way. You send people to these voting conferences, and you win, but then the leadership comes back and says, no, you didn't. We're going to do this anyway. And I just, that's a different. I can't do that.
Mm. Wow. Okay, we have about 20 seconds left here. AFA.net. Any closing thought on this?
No. Other than asking people to search their own heart. I mean, again, for me, it was, I don't want to be aligned with this. So it was a matter of alignment more than just, I don't like you who are leading. I don't want to be aligned with that kind of leadership. And I would just ask people to search their own souls about that and make your own decision.
All right, Dr. Ray Rooney Jr., thanks so much. All the best.
Yes, sir. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.